Do you know somebody with OCD who struggles with money? Join us as we reveal the financial challenges faced by individuals living with OCD and their families. Welcome to the Free Me from OCD podcast. If you or someone you love has OCD, you know that OCD can hold you hostage. OCD can get in the driver's seat of your life. Here you'll find the information, tips, and tools to put you back in the driver's seat of your life. I'm Dr. Vicki Rackner, your host. I call on my experience as a mother of a son diagnosed with OCD when he was in college, physician, and life coach to help you evolve into the best and highest version of yourself. Let's dive into today's episode. As always, let's kick this off with a story. I was talking with a coaching client, Gail, about her secret fear. She said, "I'm worried about being a bag lady one day, eating out of dumpsters." Years ago, Gail started working with a financial advisor, saved and invested, and was on track to retire at 50. That was before her daughter, Ellie, was diagnosed with OCD. Gail recognizes that much of her current financial pain is a result of choices she made about helping her daughter financially in the decades since her daughter got the diagnosis of OCD. As with so many families, it took Ellie years to finally get a diagnosis, then cycle through therapists and treatments that didn't work. Finally, they found ERP, and Ellie's life radically improved. At that time, Ellie was living at home, enrolled in a community college, but Ellie wanted to have the college experience she always dreamed of. Well, Gail had saved so that Ellie could graduate from college debt-free. Ellie decided that she wanted to go to the arts and design school. The tuition was about 10 times more than the state college Gail budgeted for. Well, Gail and her husband talked about it. Ellie had an undeniable talent for drawing. They decided to dip into their retirement savings and pay for the art school. Ellie stretched out the four-year program to 6 years. After graduation, she took jobs that would pay her rent as she explored options about how she could turn her drawing talent into a paying career. Ellie decided that being an Uber driver would be a good fit for her. However, Uber has standards about the cars their drivers can use on duty. So Ellie asked Gail for help, and Gail bought Ellie a new car. For a few months, things looked good. Then Ellie's boyfriend broke up with her, and she crumbled. She couldn't leave the house because she was too busy with her obsessions and compulsions. Gail suggested that maybe ERP would help. When Ellie told her that she couldn't afford it, Gail offered to pay. Then Ellie asked Gail to borrow money for rent. Gail told me, "What could I do? I had to say yes." Gail said yes when Ellie asked her to make the $10,000 investment in a multi-level marketing business selling skincare products. Ellie said, "But Mom, I can make lots of money and help with my tuition. It's a sure thing." It failed. Gail said yes to paying off Ellie's credit card bills when Ellie managed her stress with shopping. Ellie called it retail therapy. Gail said yes to paying for Ellie's inpatient treatment that her insurance didn't cover. Gail and her husband had constant fights about money that ultimately ended in divorce. Gail describes these transfers of money, often from her own retirement account to Ellie, as guilt offerings. She said, "I feel so badly that Ellie has such a hard life. I want to do what I can to make her life a little easier. And I see that I'm doing it in ways that moves me ever closer to being a bag lady eating out of a dumpster. I carry around a lot of money shame." Gail is not alone. Money is one of the top things people worry about. It's a source of conflict within relationships and a leading cause of divorce. Most importantly, money is a background concern for virtually every family navigating OCD. Here's the thing. Very few people talk about money. Money may well be the ultimate taboo topic. Many people carry money shame. Well, if OCD is a part of your life, you're no stranger to shame. Shame often keeps people from getting a diagnosis of OCD or getting the right treatment. Many OCD themes like harm or sexuality remain hidden because of shame. However, in my experience, money issues related to OCD rise to the very apex to the mountain of OCD shame. As shame expert Brené Brown says, if you put shame in a petri dish, it needs three ingredients to grow exponentially: secrecy, silence, and judgment. If you put the same amount of shame in the petri dish and douse it with empathy, it can't survive. I want to shine some empathy on OCD-related money issues. Now, we're going to talk about OCD and money. However, you'll quickly see that as you do money, so you do life. I won't pretend to offer you answers about how you and your family manage your money. However, I would like to share a lens through which you can look at your spending and explore financial choices that work better for you. Really, what I most want to do is begin a conversation about OCD and money. Here's why this is so important right now. The COVID pandemic changed our financial lives. Money issues can assume more urgency since the COVID pandemic. More and more Americans are financially insecure. In 2019, a survey found that 75% of Americans were okay financially. Today, 3 out of 4 Americans say that they're stressed about finances. Inflation, rising interest rates, and a lack of savings contribute to financial insecurity. So even though you're listening to this podcast because you identify as a loved one of somebody managing OCD, you're also a citizen of the world. We're all subject to the same economic forces as neurotypical people are. We're all navigating a financial recovery from the COVID pandemic. Now, financial pain is like a toothache. It's always with you, taking up slices of your attention pie. Well, now let's delve into the connection between OCD and finances. I really wanted to give you some great studies, but what I found in my research is that there's actually very little written about this relationship. So I'm going to bring you what I have. All right, here's the solid data that I found. People with OCD are almost 6 times more likely to be in problem debt than neurotypical people. In England, nearly a third of people with OCD have a debt problem, compared to just 5% for people without mental health issues. Well, how can we explain this debt? First, we know that OCD can impair a person's ability to work and earn income. According to data from 2014, as many as 2 out of 5 people with OCD withdraw from the workforce either temporarily or permanently. Second, we can only imagine the added expenses to fund compulsions. What are the costs of cleaning supplies, showers that last hours, or new clothes? What are the costs of household modifications to create a sense of safety? How much do people with moral OCD spend on expensive gifts to be accepted by others? Third, there are additional expenses associated with diagnosing and treating OCD. The highest medical costs, of course, are a reflection of the failure to diagnose OCD, sometimes for a year, and the cost to deliver treatments that do not help people get better. Fourth, the COVID pandemic represents a time of unprecedented stress. Even before the pandemic, the top 3 sources of stress included money and finances, health and the safety of loved ones, and job and career worries. OCD can touch all 3 areas. So even if money is not a theme for either obsessions or compulsions, you can see that we're living in a time that makes it more challenging to manage OCD. Well, how does stress translate into finances? We know that some people are biologically coded to either be born spenders or born savers. It turns out that for born spenders, retail therapy, stress spending, is an effective strategy for numbing the discomfort of stress. If the source of stress is financial, spending can make a bad situation worse. Well, can money become an OCD theme? In other words, do people have obsessions and compulsions about money itself? I mentioned that we are either biologically programmed to be born spenders or born savers. Born savers can develop a fear of spending money known as crematophobia. This is a documented theme for people with OCD. Born spenders may be at the risk for compulsions involving gambling or shopping. A twin study finds that certain individuals are also more likely to meet the diagnostic criteria for a gambling disorder. Some choose to deal with money concerns with avoidance. They pretend that money does not exist. They don't open their bank statements. They don't know where they stand financially. Avoidance in general is not a strategy that supports either physical or fiscal health. Here's the good news. ERP can be used to manage any OCD theme, including money-related behaviors. So let's summarize. Huge numbers of Americans are facing financial stresses. This is amped up for families touched by OCD. Undiagnosed and unmanaged OCD can have huge financial consequences. So here's your biggest question. How does OCD impact your family's finances? Whether you have OCD or your child or grandchild or partner has OCD, how does this impact your financial health? Are you okay with the way things are, or would you like to make some changes? If you want to explore more, here are some steps. First, take a deep breath. Money is a topic that elicits strong feelings. Second, know that wherever you are not alone. Please feel welcome to become part of the Free Me from OCD Facebook community and share your money stories. Let us know where you are financially. Have you found any financial resources that are helpful for you? I'd be happy to compile a list and share it with you. You'll find a link to the Facebook site below. Next, if you're experiencing OCD-related financial stresses, you may believe that your problem is a shortage of money and the solution is more money. In fact, OCD-related spending is a symptom, just like obsessions and compulsions are symptoms. Further, more money is rarely the solution to money problems, unless you're in a financial situation in which you cannot meet your basic expenses. If you are in that situation, please know that there are resources of support in your community. Reach out and get some help. Once you meet your basic needs, the solution to a sense of financial scarcity is to change your money habits. You do this by managing your brain. Now, I've been researching, speaking, and writing about the way human brains make money choices for the past 2 decades. I'm working on my 3rd book about it. We all have the potential to make logical, rational financial choices with our own planning brains, the prefrontal cortex that can imagine and realize a different future. In fact, economists have created computer models that will predict the behaviors of ideal investors. The problem is that these models did not describe what people actually did. 2 economists won a Nobel Prize for their observation, Real investors don't behave like ideal investors. Real investors make predictable investing mistakes. This really launched the field of behavioral finance. Here's a way of understanding this. If you've been listening to this podcast, you'll know that I've talked about our two brains that we have. The first is our paleo brain. This is the brain that supported our survival during the Paleolithic era when we were hunters and gatherers. Then there is the planning brain. This is the higher brain. Behavioral finance can really be explained by saying that we make our money choices with our paleo brains. Now, there was no money during the Paleolithic era, but there were resources like food. So most people treat found money like food. So if you got a tax rebate, did you save any of that? Most people just spend it. So when you see food, you eat it. When you get money, you spend it. Financial scarcity, on the other hand, is treated like the modern-day saber-toothed tiger. Suddenly, you're fleeing or fighting or freezing. The choices you make in this physiologic state of danger usually makes a bad financial situation worse. On top of that, we know that people with OCD have a lower threshold for sounding the danger alarm. So money can be very frightening for them to address or discuss. In addition, you might know people with financial PTSD. You know, maybe they went hungry during the Great Depression, and even though they have millions in assets, they're worried that one day they're going to be homeless and hungry again. Their brain has not understood that the past is over. Every human on this planet faces challenges in working towards financial health. But somebody with OCD or other form of neurodiverse wiring means that they bring their unique brain wiring with them when they make money choices. If you're the person with OCD, you already know the dear costs you pay for unmanaged OCD, the time you lose, the opportunities you say no to, maybe the dreams you've given up on. OCD spending is another literal cost of unmanaged OCD. You might get advice like, stop spending, just make a budget. This is about as helpful as the advice to just stop doing your compulsions. The best way to manage OCD-related spending is to manage your OCD more effectively. This means managing your brain more effectively. If you're the parent or partner or friend of somebody with OCD, your OCD-related spending reflects your beliefs about how you can best help and support someone you love with OCD. You might express your love by helping your loved one with OCD have an easier life with less drama and discomfort, like Gail did. It feels like a caring thing to do. Yes, you'll buy the cleaning supplies by the carton, wash sheets every day, and offer as many reassurances as your loved one requests. There's only one catch. This enabling behavior makes OCD worse, not better. Further, you can pay personally. Another mom of an adult child with OCD said to me, "Have you ever read The Giving Tree? It's like the story of my life. I'm giving and giving and giving to my son with OCD because I love him and I want to make him happier. One day I'll wind up as an old stump with nothing more to give." So your whole family can pay the price for underwriting obsessions and compulsions. On the other end of the help and support spectrum, you have clarity that you'll do what you can to support your loved one's OCD recovering. Your vision is for the person you love with OCD to be able to live a full life. This usually means setting and maintaining clear boundaries and saying no. No, you will not buy extra cleaning supplies. You'll wash sheets once a week and offer one reassurance. Now, if you do this, you're not going to be your loved one's favorite person. In fact, you might be the target of your loved one's rage. However, once you're clear about your why you are making the choices that you do, it becomes easier. So your OCD money choices can change depending on where the person with OCD is on the spectrum of OCD management or recovery at any point. Are they completely disabled by OCD? Do they demonstrate complete mastery? Does your loved one with OCD have the potential to live independently when OCD is well managed? You may be in the situation in which you need to make a financial plan for your loved one to be cared for when you're not on the planet anymore. So every family navigating OCD makes different money choices. The best place to begin is to get an assessment of where you are now. What is your OCD-related spending? How well is this working for you? You can make different choices about spending starting today, and this can feel uncomfortable. I recently heard the story of a mom who wanted her neurotypical middle school kids to take responsibility for their own lunches. So she promised the kids she would have plenty of groceries in the house so that they could make their own lunches. And if they didn't want to make their own lunches, they could pay for their lunches out of their allowances. Well, one day the school administrator called this woman to let her know that there was a $12 outstanding bill for her kids' lunches. This mom explained how her family manages lunches. She said, "My child is responsible for this lunch bill. Please have the conversation with my child." She said that the administrator treated her like she was a negligent parent. She said she got off the phone and wondered herself. However, she knew in her heart she was parenting in a way that aligned with her values. She wanted to raise financially independent children. So she gave the kids higher levels of responsibility that match their developmental levels. Gail and I went through this exercise. She came to understand that being her daughter's bank deprived her daughter of the opportunity to know what she could do by herself. By giving her daughter money, she was saying, "I don't trust you to come up with a solution." This was a real disservice to both of them. She wants to raise a daughter who trusts her own ability to take care of herself. She wanted her daughter to say, "It's time for an ERP tune-up. How can I find the money to make this happen?" She made a commitment to stop rescuing her daughter. She says that sometimes she feels like a bad parent. She wonders if other people judge her with her new choices that she's making. Then she decides that she's not going to measure herself by what others think. She's going to judge herself on the basis of how well her behaviors align with her values. Her highest value was to support her daughter's recovery. So this shows how as you do money, so you do life. So maybe this is time for you to get back to what you value most and what you're trying to achieve when someone you love has OCD. My guess is that it's really helped the person you love with OCD to be freed from the tyranny of OCD. Well, clearly, OCD and finances is a huge topic, and we've just started to scratch the surface. That's why I'd like to invite you to a complimentary webinar entitled OCD, Neurodiverse Brains and Money, How to Move Towards Financial Health. If you or an adult you love is managing maybe OCD or ADHD or autism, you know that these brain wiring conditions touch all parts of your life, including your money. When you join us for this complimentary webinar, you're going to learn how OCD and other neurodivergent conditions shape your finances, tools for identifying where you stand now. You'll discover your money archetype and your financial pain personality. You'll take away scripts that you can use to have family conversations about money, even if the conversation is with yourself. and you'll gain clarity about your values and goals that guide your money choices that you make. All of this is intended to help you move towards optimal financial health. I will leave a registration link below. If you found value in this episode, please feel welcome to share it with others you know who are helping their adult children be freed from OCD. Thank you for your time. You can do this.